ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
First verse today, huh?
Arjuna uvach evam sapata yuktaye bhakta swam taryupasate eta pyaksharam avyaktam desham ke yoga vittamah.
Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested?
Shri Bhagavan uvacha, maya veshamano yemam nitya yukta upasate श्रद्धया परयोपेतास तेन युक्ततमामताः।
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on a personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. In the 4, 5, and 6, Krishna explained the path of Nishkama Karma Yoga that gradually leads a person to the stage of Jnana platform. See, what is Nishkama Karma Yoga? There is Sakama Karma Yoga, there is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So there are two things. One is the work and one is the fruits of work. Sakama Karma Yogi, he is attached to which one?
Both.
He is attached to both. He is attached to the work, type of work that he performs, and as well as the fruits. And Nishkama Karma Yogi? Is he attached to work or the fruits? Only the work. He is detached from the fruits. Yeah. He is detached from the fruits. He is only attached to the work. Type of work that he wants to perform. We gave many examples for that. You remember, isn't it? Like somebody wants to make only gulab jamun. Because they are very good in making it. They don't care what other people say. But there are some people who want to make gulab jamun and want to see what others say. About my gulab jamun which I made. So this is the difference between sakama and nishkama. So Nishkama Karma Yogi is one who is attached to work but not to the fruits. But gradually, in that way, it leads him to the platform of jnana. Where he becomes really detached for a period of time. He becomes purified. Then gradually you will find Krishna talking about in the 3rd and 4th chapter we hear about Karma Yoga. And then you hear Krishna speaking about Ashtanga Yoga in 6th chapter. So in the 11th chapter Krishna spoke about Vishwarupa Darshan. He showed also. Now Arjuna here again is confused here because he is attached to the form of Shyam Sundar, the beautiful 200 form. So, if you remember, in the 10th chapter, 10th verse, what did Krishna say? You know the Chatushloki, Bhagavad Gita we studied. What is the 10th chapter, 10th verse? Tejam satata yuktana bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantite. So Arjuna is remembering that Krishna spoke many verses like this, similar to this. You see, what is the last verse of 6th chapter? There Krishna says about who is the topmost yogi. There are many, many yogis, isn't it? There is Tapasvi, there is Jnana Yogi, there is Karma Yogi. But then he says, తపస్విభ్యో అధికో యోగి, జ్ఞానిభ్యోపి మతోధిక, కర్మిభ్యశ్చాధికో యోగి, తస్మాత్ యోగి భవ అర్జున. సమ్ పీపుల్ యూజ్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ టు సే, శ్రీకృష్ణ సేస్ యూ హావ్ టు గో టు యోగా క్లాసెస్, బికమ్ ఎ యోగి. తస్మాత్ యోగి భవ అర్జున, బికమ్ ఎ యోగి బై జాయినింగ్ అవర్ యోగా ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్. కెన్ బికమ్ యోగి లైక్ దట్. హీ సేయింగ్ తపస్విభ్యో అధికో యోగి, సచ్ యోగి ఇస్ బెటర్ దాన్ తపస్వి. జ్ఞానిభ్యోపి మతోధిక ఇస్ బెటర్ దాన్ జ్ఞాని ఆల్సో. కర్మిభ్యశ్చ అధికో యోగి ఇస్ బెటర్ దాన్ కర్మయోగి ఆల్సో. హూ ఇస్ దట్ యోగి? వన్ మే ఆస్క్. దట్ హీ సేస్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్స్. వాట్ ఇస్ దట్ వర్స్? యోగి నామపి సర్వేషాం మద్గతేనాంతరాత్మన శ్రద్ధావాన్ భజతే యోమ సమే యుక్త తమో మత. సీ దాట్ యూజ్ ద వర్డ్ యుక్త తమో మత. యుక్త తమ మీన్స్ యుక్త, యుక్త తర, యుక్త తమ. దర్ ఆర్ త్రీ లెవెల్స్. యుక్త మీన్స్ ఎంగేజ్, యుక్త తర మీన్స్ ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ ద బెటర్ వే, యుక్త తమ మీన్స్ ద మోస్ట్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఎంగేజ్. సో కృష్ణ క్లియర్లీ సేస్ ద బెస్ట్ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ మై సర్వీసెస్ యోగినాం సర్వేషాం మద్గతే అనంతరాత్మన్ ఇన్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఇన్నర్ హార్ట్ హూ ఆల్వేస్ థింక్స్ ఆఫ్ మీ. శ్రద్ధావాన్ విత్ గ్రేట్ శ్రద్ధ, భజతే మీన్స్ వన్ హూ డస్ భజన్ ఫర్ మీ, భజతే యమ. సచ్ క్లియర్ కట్ వర్డ్స్. So Arjuna has heard like that in 6th chapter, that one should meditate on Krishna's form. And later Krishna also said in the 8th chapter, if you remember, Antakalecha Mameva Smaranmuktva Kaleva, isn't it? One should think of Krishna's form. Later in 9.34, again Krishna said, what did he say?
Manmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Yudhvaivam Atmanam Matparayana.
So there also Krishna said, think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, everything he said. So Arjuna was wondering, on one hand Krishna tells me to remember him, always. On the other hand, he just now showed me the Virat Roop, or the Visharup Darshan. And sometimes he says, you be detached, you be a jnani. In some places Krishna talks about being detached and being a jnani. So Arjuna thought that Krishna is telling two things at a time, simultaneously. You remember in one of the verses in 3rd chapter, I think. Vyamishreneva vakhena buddhim mohayasivame tahetam vadanishchitya. He says, sir, ekam vadanishchitya. Please tell me one thing, Krishna. Why do you say two things? Vyamishreneva vakhena. Why are you giving me equivocal instruction? Should I do work or should I not do work? Should I remain in the world or should I be renouncing the world? But Krishna said, you remain in the world and be renounced. That was confusing for him. How is it to be done? How can you be remaining in the world and be detached at the same time? So that was confusing to Arjuna. As Krishna progressed now, he is coming to 12th chapter here. Here Arjuna wants to be very sure about one thing. I am clarifying as he goes. He makes it finer and finer. Samyaya, correct. And 6th chapter, first verse, what he says? Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya. Sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnet na chakriya. The person who does not do work or lit fire, he is not a sannyasi, he says. One who is idle, one is not doing work. But one who does his work, but is unattached to the fruits, but offers his fruits to Krishna, he is actual sannyasi, he says. So it goes on like that. And then later on, you see how Krishna beautifully develops. In 6th chapter he says, anashita karma phalam. He stays there. But then as he goes on, he starts telling that one should not only be detached from the fruits, whatever fruits they are detached from, they should take it and offer it to whom? To Krishna. Yeah. So that knowledge he gives later. It is not enough to be detached. Just like there are some people who say that I renounce the world. No. You renounce, but whom are you giving is very important. Whatever he possesses, you give it to Krishna. Lord says that. So here he is asking a brilliant question. Which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So it's clear that there are two kinds of worshippers. One worships the impersonal Nirakar, Brahma Jyoti, and there are others who worship the personal form of Krishna. So there are two categories of people who worship. Yeah. See, Krishna talked about jnana yajnana chapyane ajanto mam upasate ekatvena pratyatvena bahudha avashyakam. He showed also. So Krishna not only told who a Mahatma is, he told who a Mahatma is, And then he also told Vishwarupa, you know, he explained, Sarjana wants to be 100% sure that worshipping the Lord's personal form is the ultimate. He wants to be sure about that. Because he himself is a devotee, isn't it? He wants to be sure that worshipping the personal form of the Lord is the ultimate. Otherwise, why should the Lord tell him Vishwarupa Darshan and give so much elaborate discussion in the 11th chapter? Isn't it? So one can be, of course, Vishwarupa is not impersonal, it is personal also. But Vishwarupa is considered inferior to the personal 200 form of Lord Shyamasundara. We saw that, we elaborately discussed that earlier. So, this is a very important question he is making, because there is an avyakta akshar and there is a vyakta akshar. There is impersonal ultimate truth and there is a personal ultimate truth also. Both simultaneously exist, just like the sun and sunlight. The sun, as soon as there is sun, there is sunlight. Similarly, as soon as there is Krishna's personal form, there is also the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. The light from Krishna's body, the spiritual light coming from Krishna's body. So they both are there. So jnanis worship the impersonal Brahman and the bhaktas worship the Bhagavan aspect, the personal form of Krishna. So this question of Arjuna is very important for us. Because you go all around India, there are many people who will tell you that the ultimate truth is nirakar, impersonal, and you can worship anybody whom you want. You can worship Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Krishna, anybody whom you like. You can choose any form and you worship, ultimately you will go to nirakar Brahman. And you may ask, okay, I go to nirakar Brahman, what do you do there? Oh, you become one with God and you become God. They will say. And then, okay, what next? That's all. Then you have God. Finished. And many people think like that. Then people lose interest. They think, hey, what is this? The goal of life is to get out of this world and merge into some light and remain there. Better be engaged in this world. This is more interesting. People think like that. Because they don't know what the absolute truth is. You see, the path of jnanis, it at best teaches you that you are not matter. You are not this matter. You are something beyond matter. In fact, the jnani's whole focus is on understanding that you are not matter, you are spirit. This is the main subject. Dhammam Satyam Jagat Nitya. The whole subject is centered around this only. You see, jnani's consider themselves to be far superior to the karmakandis who recite the Vedic mantras to go to heaven and enjoy. The jnanis say, we are not interested in going to heaven because we don't want to rotate in the cycle of birth and death. But we want moksha. And moksha is the greatest goal. There is nothing beyond moksha. There is a liberation from the clutches of birth and death. So they think it's very great. That's the highest goal. They think like that. And we are very wise, they think. And they study the Upanishads. The Upanishads tell them, see, just like the Karmakanda is one type of bush, the Jnanakanda is another bush which captures certain people. You see, sometimes you tell people, you just chant Hare Krishna and you can be happy. People ask you, is there anything else I can do? This looks too simple. Have you seen people like that? This looks too simple. You are saying the absolute truth is 200 form of Krishna playing on the flute, playing on the laps of Mother Yashoda. This looks too simple. Tell me something more complex. Because the jnanis are those who have just now given up the fruitive mentality of reciting the Vedas and enjoying in heaven. They have just now given up. So there are two things. Jnana karmadi anavrtam we say. So one is the karma tendency. That means to enjoy the fruits is one tendency. And while trying to enjoy the fruits you get burnt out. Then you want to give it up and become detached. You know these two platforms, bhog and tyag. Like Prabhupada gives example, like people in Bombay, they work very hard during the week, Monday to Friday, and they get very tired working all week. The weekend they come to Lonavala. You have seen people coming to Lonavala for the waterfalls to have a change. So now they say, oh, enough is enough. We have enjoyed a lot in the city and it's boring now. City is boring. Let's go to some, resort, some hill station somewhere. Just, be a free bird, wear very casual dress, don't be in official dress, no formalities, just, just enjoy life, just be. So they come here, and then when they see the scenic beauty, oh, there are trees and there are mountains and waterfalls, and close with nature, it is so nice. But that's only good for 2 days. After 2 days, they have to rush back again. Huh? Yeah, bhog, kyag we say. So they do bhog of the world when they get frustrated, then kyag, like a pendulum. You've seen pendulum? Then kyag also becomes boring, then again bhog. Huh? Yeah, then again kyag. So they shuttle between these two. Bho and kya. Actually, all of us can see it in our lives also. Like at certain times, your mind tells you, you want to enjoy. And when you try to enjoy, you get suffering. And then you think, oh, I should not enjoy. It's a simple example for, if you see eating, sometimes they prepare very nice things at home. And you become very eager to eat. Sometimes doctor has told you that, you know, you have blood pressure or something and you can't eat this too much. But then they are prepared at home, what to do? Anyway, they are prepared, okay, little bit I'll take. So you begin little bit, but then you start, you know, becoming uncontrollable. Yeah.
I just want to ask, how important is the performance of duty compared to renunciation?
Oh, performance of devotion is far more important than renunciation.
Never ending. Like the more you do, the more the duties are.
Yeah.
And when you also do renunciation, it's
a platform of performing devotion yet. I am not talking only about the jnani's platform. I will come to that. Next to that, I will come to the devotion service. So I was telling that we all have a tendency, we can see, the first we do bhog, and then when you get frustrated, you do kya, you will say. And kya also is not so interesting. Then you again come back to bhog. Sometimes you find people, you know, they are very frustrated, they come to temple for a few days, few months, and after some time they again go back to the world. Back and forth. The material nature actually shuttles us. So this is jnani's platform, you will see that. So jnani is just trying to understand that I am not the body, I am the soul, different from the body. That's all they are trying to understand. It's like very elementary ABC in comparison to the devotional service. See, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami tells a very interesting story. He says, there was a widow who had a son and she wanted this boy to study well and, you know, come up in life. So she wanted to put him under a tuition teacher. Mathematics and English and 2-3 subjects. So he went to the teacher and he was learning. And the mathematics sir was teaching him mathematics. So he put a triangle. So gradually he started teaching more and more mathematics. So one day this lady came to check. I am giving him so much free, many months have passed. Let me check what is he teaching. So she heard him teaching. From behind the curtain she heard him. He said, this is A, this is B, and this is C, he said. So he was telling, connect A, B and C. So he was telling him to make a triangle. Then immediately, this lady, she jumped up, she came inside and she shouted and yelled at him, you have cheated my son. What are you teaching him? Just A, B, C you are teaching? A, B, C is supposed to be taught in the LKG and UKG. Now this boy has come to 8th standard and still you are teaching A, B, C, and I have been paying you so much fee. Then she said, enough is enough, now I am taking my son back and I won't pay you tuition fee for the last month also, she said, and took the son back. And the teacher was trying to say something, but she never paid any attention, she just fled from there. So he says, jnanis are like this, he says. Why? The jnanis think what the bhaktas are doing appears to be very simple. They are chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, you know, serving the deity, it appears to be very simple. You see, when you take the alphabets, A, B, C, D letters, first you have to learn A, B, C, D, is it not true? Then afterwards you have to form words. Then you have to form sentences. Then you can write some prose order. And then comes the poetry. To write a refined poetry, a rhythmic poetry, it's not very easy. So what is the comparison between poetry and these alphabets? That's a big difference, isn't it? But still the poetry is also made up of the same alphabets. We should not forget that. In the same way, a devotee is performing devotion service, may be apparently doing simple activities. Externally seeing, he may be living in the society. He may be chanting Hare Krishna, bowing down to Lord, and offering bhoga and accepting prasad. Very simple things. Offering flowers. But as one matures up in devotion service, what happens? Just like you learn alphabets, then words, and sentences, and prose, and then poetry, similarly, the same activities you keep doing in devotion service and your bhavana keeps maturing up inside the heart. The bhav with which you do the things. That's why our society is called as Antarashtriya కృష్ణ భావనామృత సంఘ తపత్ కాల్ ఇట్ భావనామృత లైక్ యు నో వీఆర్ టేకింగ్ అ ఫ్లవర్ అండ్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఇట్ టు డైటీస్ బై రొటేటింగ్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ ప్రభువాద్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఆఫరింగ్ ద సేమ్ యాక్టివిటీ A pure devotee is doing and we are doing. Is there a difference or not? What is the difference? The bhavana. What is the bhavana of a pure devotee? With what consciousness he is offering? We are doing dandavat pranam on the ground, isn't it? And Prabhupada is also doing dandavat pranam before Krishna Balaram. Is there a difference or not? There is a difference. Yeah. And you will see that when great devotees perform the same spiritual activities, their consciousness is so high, that they can perceive the presence of the Lord clearly. At our level, we cannot perceive. In our level, our consciousness is very, very low. So we are doing those activities. Just like when a person joins the army, on the very first day he gets a uniform. Given a gun, he is given a uniform and everything on the first day. But he doesn't even know how to shoot with the gun. He is wearing uniform as if he is a big soldier. So all of us, our condition is like that. We wear a bead bag, we put tilak, we put kantimala. So, in the beginning we put up this show, but we are actually not proper devotees. But by doing these activities, eventually we will become proper devotees one day. But the jnanis underestimate. The devotees thinking that they are sentimentalist. That's why Prakashananda Saraswati, when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the street dancing and chanting with all the public, general public, he called other disciples of his disciples, professional disciples, and asked, "What is going on? Just look at this sentimental sannyasi. He is dancing and chanting in the street like a sentimentalist. He is mixing with the public. He is now at the stage of sannyas. He is supposed to sit and read Vedanta. And he should be discussing with people like us. We are all Vedantists and we are all sannyasis. And he should be sober. He should be serious. But we see him chanting and dancing." So he considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a sentimentalist. But later on you will see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to that assembly, and then when he spoke and opened, then all the disciples along with Prakashananda, they became transformed. He defeated them totally. Altogether, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated. So, the different parts, like if you take the Karma Yogi's part, Karma Yogi doesn't know anything in life other than just do your work and offer the fruits to God. And he doesn't have deep understanding of God. He continues in the material world. Whereas, if you take a Jnana Yogi, he goes up to the moksh. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksh. So he goes up to the moksha point, which is like a 0-0. If you take from negative axis, you go to the 0-0 axis. And Bhakta is in the positive axis. Where, a Jnani is free from material identity, free from false ego, but he has not yet acquired the true ego. You know what is true ego? Ego means identity. We have a spiritual identity. Jiva is a poet, Krishna Nitya Das. So in the spiritual world you find there are such evolved beings, the spiritual world, such great personalities who by dint of their devotion to the Lord have achieved that status. They are able to reciprocate with Krishna so closely. You can see how intimately they deal with Krishna. One time, it is said in Vrindavan, the leader of the Gopas, you know Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, but there is Upananda, who is the elder brother of Nanda Maharaj. Once he called for a meeting of all the covered men, and they all came together. And in the meeting there was a serious discussion. And Nanda Maharaj also happened to be there. And he said, "You see, this boy Krishna, we have been thinking of him to be an ordinary boy for so long. But now, we are very fearful that we have offended him. Because when he was such a small child, he killed such a great demoness, Putana. Isn't it? And subsequently he killed so many demons one after another. We all think that he must be some demigod. You see, there are great demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra and such demigods. Maybe this boy is also some very great demigod. It's likely. Or at least he must be some very great mystic yogi. It's possible. And you are telling Nanda, and you people, you don't understand how great is he. I see that Mother Yashoda is twisting his ears sometimes. Sometimes slapping him. Sometimes beating him. I think that from this meeting we are concluding that you should treat him with very great respect, just like you would treat a yogi. Hearing this, Nanda Maharaj laughed. He said, what do you mean? He is not even like an ordinary man. Even an ordinary man can control his senses. But what are you talking about, my boy? He cannot control his senses. In a day, he eats 50 times. In a day, he said. And not only that, he said, whenever there is a thunder in the sky, when there is a lightning, immediately he comes dashing to me or to Yashoda. And we have to pacify him. When he plugs his ears and he comes running and catches our feet, and we have to protect him. He is so fearful. What kind of yogi is this yogi who is so fearful? Yogi is supposed to be not fearful. And not only that, if somebody is a very great yogi or a great personality, he is supposed to be honest. But I see this fellow so mischievous, he goes house to house and steals butter. What kind of spiritualist is he? In this way, Nanda Maharaj ridiculed Krishna and was laughing amongst all the covered men. In fact, when they heard Krishna's activities, they started laughing and laughing and laughing, and they got a stomachache. And then Nanda Maharaj said, I will tell you something about stomachache, he said. He said, when Krishna gets a stomachache because he eats too much butter, then Yashoda has to pick him up and squeeze him and give him millions of kisses. Until then, he will not keep crying, he will not keep stop crying. He said, that is his condition. And he is such a naughty child, and you are saying he is a demigod, he is a yogi, he is a great man. What kind of great man is he? Yes. So this is the platform of Nanda Maharaj. You can understand what great personalities they are. You see, Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill when he is 7 years old boy. He is lifting the Govardhan hill and giving shelter to all the Vrijavasis. But when Nanda Maharaj is telling, bring me my sandals, you know, he is not able to lift it. Lifting on his head, and his head is shaking. He is not able to carry it. It is so heavy for him. And when he comes and hands out Nanda Baba, he takes the sandals and he is thanking Krishna. He is feeling so happy. So, these great personalities, they have gone beyond the platform of just knowing, I am not the body, I am the soul, aham brahmasmi. That is a primitive platform, to just know that I am Brahman, I am spirit soul. Much beyond that is this platform of realizing one's identity in the spiritual world. So, the spiritual world is full of devotees worshipping the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in various ways. You will find, like Srimati Radharani expands herself into these Ashtasakis. They are all direct expansions of Srimati Radharani. And they all serve Krishna in different ways, by playing Muridangam, playing Kartals. You will see, you know, offering a garland, offering different type of services. You will see that. So these are actually the most evolved beings in the whole creation, in different dresses serving Krishna. So we are celebrating Jhulan Yatra today. Here we are going to have many nice songs now. So in Vrindavan, it is said when Krishna, during a particular season, the gopis decorate a beautiful Jhulan with all different types of flowers, very, very wonderful flowers. And they make this place fit for Radha and Krishna to sit. Often, people think of Radha Krishna to be ordinary, or the relationship of Krishna with the gopis to be ordinary. So Prabhupada, right at the outset, he distinguishes between lust and love. He says, lust means sense gratification for our own self, whereas love means sense gratification for Krishna's pleasure. So this is the difference between kama and prem. What is kama? I want to enjoy. I want to be happy. If we very carefully observe our attitude, at every moment, every one of us, we worry about our happiness. We can see that very easily. We want to be comfortable. One time in the yatra, one Maharaj was telling. He was telling, as soon as we go in the yatra, we find, oh, in the train I should get a good place to sit. You know? Okay, you got a good place. And when you get down, when you go to the rooms, you find that, you know, I should have a room which is very close to the bathrooms, you know. You know, and you want a very good room, nice room. This corner room is very nice. It's bigger than that room. You want the biggest room with the best facility and everything. Okay, you got that. And then now there is going to be a long queue for prasad. You quickly take a bath and you want to be the first in the queue so that you get quick prasad. First, you can see that even in yatra, mood is of enjoying very much. And then as soon as we have to go for walking, we ask, how long is this? How much we have to walk? Isn't it? You know, what time they will serve lunch? Morning prasad is in the plate now, you have not even finished it, and we are asking about lunch. What time they will serve? So accordingly, you know, if lunch is going to be little late, then I will eat double breakfast. Isn't it? He worries so much about the body, the yatra, we can say. And your mind, this devilish mind, you have to slap the mind left, right, center. Because the mind will create so many problems. Mind will tell you, oh, your body is paining, your legs are paining, you are very, very tired, the yatra is too hectic, the devotees are crazy, all the time they are singing and dancing. This is too much. I think you should take rest today, no need to go for parikram. Go to rest. It's mine. And some devotee is asking, ah, Prabhuji, Mataji, you are not coming today? Ah, I am coming. You need to pack up and go immediately. So you can see that. So in this world, everyone is very selfish. Even after become, one difference is when you become devotee, you can easily see that you are selfish. That's the advantage we have. And we can curse ourselves and pray to the Lord, why am I so selfish? Why do I always think of myself only? Why not a little bit think of others? Jayadeva is a wonderful example. In yatra, he will be the first person to serve prasad. Actually, from him only I got the inspiration to serve. I never had a tendency to serve prasad at all. I will be first in the queue to sit and eat. So I saw he is so elderly and so enthusiastic to serve. And I am much younger man and I should be serving. So, the serving mood and enjoying mood are diametrically opposite. See, the beauty is, when you serve, you get double enjoyment. More than when you enjoy yourself. You can easily see that. See, when you enjoy yourself, when you enjoy, at the time of enjoying, you have some pleasure. But afterwards, you are frustrated. You are not so happy. But when you serve, there is a prolonged feeling of joy. You can see that. When you serve someone, even materially you will see. When you are not selfish and you become selfless and do something for someone, there is a prolonged pleasure you can experience. What to speak of serving in a spiritual platform? So the gopis of Vrindavan actually are the topmost servants. They are such experts, they know what will please the Lord the most. They are the ones who know the mind of the Lord. What will please the Lord the most? There are gopas, there are gopis, there are parents of Krishna. They all please Krishna. But the gopis of Vrindavan are actually the topmost. So when the Lord stands under the Vamshiva tree and he plays on his flute, it is said there were some gopis who were milking the cows. There are some gopis who milked the cows already and they took the milk and they kept it on the top of a stove and they were heating it. And when they heard the flute, they never bothered whether milk boiled or not boiled. They ran away immediately. And similarly, there were some who were serving the family members. There were some who were eating. Krishna was actually 8-year-old boy at the time. By the time some of the gopis were even married, they had children also. They were 12, 14 years old, some of them. They were more elder than Krishna, many of them. But this love of the gopis of Krishna is on a spiritual plane. So there is no question of age factor coming in between. Like some people wonder, like one student was asking me a question, how you people are talking about loving Krishna? Krishna is a boy. Generally a boy can only love a girl. How can a boy love another boy so much? And that too you say you have to eternally love him. How is it possible? So I told him, then the whole class I spoke on this only. I told him, what a foolish question. I told him, what to speak of we loving Krishna. Krishna's beauty is such that even deers love him. The cows love him. The calves love him. The peacocks love him. The sparrows love him. The monkeys love him. All the different animals of Vrindavan, they all love Krishna. Everyone has. It is said when Krishna plays on his flute in the forest, it is said that the birds are sitting in the tree, they are stunned like yogis. They are totally stunned. And the peacocks, they start waving their beautiful feathers. And the deers start proceeding towards Krishna and looking towards Krishna very gracefully. The calves are not even drinking the milk. When they are drinking the milk, they were drinking the milk, but when they hear Krishna's food, they stop drinking milk. They are stunned in ecstasy. And tears are coming from their eyes. It is said those things which are stagnant things, like Krishna standing on a stone and playing on the flute, the stones start melting. Stones are melting. Yamuna is flowing very fast, fierce waves of Yamuna. And Yamuna stops. She stands still to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. like that. Those things which were moving, they stopped. And those things which were stagnant, they started moving by hearing Krishna's flute. So, this is the meaning of somebody to be God. When you say somebody is God, every species is attracted to him. Every single species. He says, you know, sarvayonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantya tasam brahma mahadyonet aham bija pradahapita. So every yoni actually is created by Krishna. So everyone feels attraction to him. Whether one is a boy or a girl or a cow or a calf or whatever it is. I heard in New Vrindavan, there is one Varsana Swami, Varsana Maharaj. Even today, if you go there and see, he has beautiful deities, Radha Krishna deities he has. And that is actually a forest place. Every day a peacock comes inside his room and she puts one feather and goes for putting Krishna's, for putting peacock feathers for Krishna. It's an everyday event, you can go and see, can you imagine? Even today it's happening. So some people are a little surprised. Probably once in a while it may be happening. So some of the students who went from here, they saw it and they said, they saw it actually, you can witness it with your eyes. Peacock coming and offering the feather right in front of the Radhakrishna deity and going. You can see that. So we can see the attraction every species has for Krishna. So gopis love for Krishna should not be thought of to be like mundane lust between boy and a girl. Because whether it is gopi or gopa or whoever, cow or calf, it is immaterial. What matters is the devotion in their hearts. Krishna doesn't see gopis as girls and gopas as boys and he feels different affinity. Krishna's affinity factor depends on what? Can anybody say? There is only one factor. Krishna's affinity towards some living being depends on only one factor. Who knows that? The unmotivated love that living being is able to exhibit. Unalloyed love. Yes, that's the only factor. Nothing else. It's immaterial whether you are a boy or a girl or a child or a cow or a calf or whatever. Lord sees only the heart. He sees the devotion. Otherwise, why was he attracted to Kubja? Was Kubja a very beautiful girl? Kubja was a hunchbacked woman, old woman, with ugly looking body. And Lord was attracted by her service attitude. And accepted service from her. Lord accepted service from Shabari also, as Ram. So, these gopis, they, their devotion to the Lord is so great that it is said that they had absolutely no attraction for the things of the world. Their only attraction was Krishna. Like Rupa Swami tells in this famous verse, he says that do not go to the banks of Yamuna where Lord Govinda is standing with his beautiful flute playing. And his lips are brightened by the moonshine. And if you see his beauty, it's very dangerous. If you want to maintain your material friendship, society and love, better you don't go there. He says, what does that mean? You should go there. Yeah, that's the meaning. You go there and become attracted to him so that you can, you will not be attracted to the false mirage of this world. That is the meaning. So this is a proof in the path of Krishna consciousness. How can we propose this? This is a test of Krishna consciousness, he says. What is the test? How can you know that you are advancing or not in Krishna consciousness? That our attraction for the worldly objects will reduce. And at the same time our attraction for Krishna will increase. And Prabhupada says one who becomes captivate like this gopis is saying, one who becomes very attracted to the Lord's sweetness of his nature. Not only his bodily beauty, his intelligence, his nature of how he deals with the devotee. Then one will easily see that many times people ask, how can we overcome this vasanas, vishaya vasanas, attraction for things of the world? The best solution is to become attracted to the Lord. All other things are secondary. The primary process is to chant the holy names and become attracted to the Lord directly. So, you will see that the gopis in Vrindavan, it's very easy to see that they loved Krishna. They did not have lust for him. Why? Imagine that a husband had two wives. Naturally, there will be a quarrel. Both the wife will try to draw the attention of the husband towards herself so that they can exploit the husband as much as they can, isn't it? Whereas the gopis, you find all the gopis are catching each other's hands and dancing around Radha and Krishna. And they are ready to put Radha and Krishna in the swing. And they are ready to swing and see that they are joyful. Why? Because the gopis know amongst them the topmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani actually is the most talented in everything. She is the best in singing, best in dancing, best in cooking, best in rangoli making, best in doing drama, best in mimicking, best in everything. Satkalali Pandita, it is said. She is best in all the kalas. And knowing that very well, the gopis know that because Radharani is the best servant, let us push her in the front. Let she serve Krishna. Because ultimately what is her desire? Krishna should be pleased. So whether I can please Krishna or somebody else can please Krishna, if somebody else can please Krishna better than me, so let that person be put in the front. So they all bring Srimati Radharani to the front. And there is a Gantuli Gram even today, if you go to Vrindavan, where they make Radha and Krishna sit in the swing and they tie the clothes together. Even in marriages they do that, isn't it? They put like that. So they tie the cloth knots, and later on, when the gopis hide, then Radha wants to run and she finds that they have tied her clothes to Krishna's clothes. There's a Gantuli Gram, even today, that place is there. So, gopis derive great joy simply playing the musical instruments and dancing for the Lord's pleasure. The pleasure of Shri Radha and Krishna. Absolutely non-envious. There is no envy at all. And on the other hand, Srimati Radharani, she likes to see that everyone serves Krishna, everyone else serves Krishna. Like that. That is actually the attitude. Actually, these are all very, very finer sentiments which are like a buffoon trying to catch the moon. You know a buffoon? Dwarf. Like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. Although I am talking it, I am just repeating from Prabhupada's words. We don't have any realization of that. It's a very, very high plane. To understand the love of the gopis for Krishna. Because we are in the material world, we are so much attracted to opposite sex in this world, and this Kali Yuga is actually multiplying that madness, that illusion. Because of which, it's very difficult for someone to think of any better relationship than the sex life between man and woman. One cannot think of anything better. Very unfortunate. So that is why we should hear stories of Hanuman serving Ram, so we don't get bewildered. You hear Akrura serving Krishna, you hear Uddhava serving Krishna, you hear Arjuna serving Krishna. So when you hear those things, and gradually we advance, mature up in devotion, and understand the Lord's nature, devotee's nature, and then we can understand the gopis. That is the purpose. Is the 10th canto one should not read directly. One cannot understand. One has to go from the first canto. And there are so many pastimes of Dhruva, Prahalad, Ambarish Maharaj, so many pastimes. By reading those things, we can actually understand what is devotional service. Then we can appreciate the 10th canto. So in this way, the gopis decorate Radha Krishna with beautiful flowers and flower garlands, put them in the swing, and they swing, and they, by swinging them and singing for them, they derive very great joy by that. So the pleasure of Krishna is their pleasure. The sorrow of Krishna is their sorrow. That's the life of a devotee. So I will not proceed further. It's already 8:45. We will do Ketan for about half an hour.